Your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5, this is going to be the last sermon for a while, dealing with the shining God's light with all of our might. Say, preacher, why is that? Because next Sunday is Father's Day, so I'm not going to preach it then. And then I won't be speaking for a while until I actually get back in about 2 weeks afterwards. Amen. So Matthew chapter number 5, our two jumping verses are verses 13 and 14, and we also put in 15, and today we'll put in 16 as well, amen. And today going to be speaking about blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. So if you've got your Bibles, we're at Matthew chapter 5. And verse number 13, we'll read 13, 14, and 15. If you're able to stand, we'll stand with those. Amen. And then we'll come back and read Matthew 5, 8 afterwards. Everybody there at Matthew 5, 13, say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? Amen. All right. The Bible reads, and I want you to read with me starting in verse 13. Ye are the light, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Amen. So as we continue to focus on shining God's light with all of our might, with a household view, because that verse says you don't put a candle under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all in the house. And we've been talking about making sure that in the house, in your home, that your individual light can shine so that everybody in your household can see you shining for Christ's sake. Amen. And we've been studying that out. Today's topic is a pureness of heart. A pureness of heart. Because before you get to verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth, Jesus has just covered the Beatitudes. And we've already covered the first four, the several weeks past, that talked about the inward craving that we need to have. And that was in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we looked at the outward conduct that comes from those Beatitudes in verse number 7 last week. And we saw, blessed are the merciful. Why? They shall obtain mercy in verse number 7. And we looked at three different groups that need mercy. And those were fault finders, those that find themselves in some kind of a trouble. And it was no fault of their own, but they were caught in some trouble. And then it's to the faith failures, those that think they can stand for God, but then they just fail for whatever the reason is, that their faith fails them. And then we looked at the last person was a forgiveness forgetter, the person that forgets that they were saved and starts acting like they're not saved. They need mercy. Why? To get them back on track. Today it's pureness of heart. Verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Father, bless now in the message this morning. I pray that if there is one today that they've come here this morning, their heart is not as pure as it needs to be. Their heart is not pure with Christ Jesus. If it has been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, you speak to that man, you speak to that woman, you speak to that boy or girl this morning. They might see themselves before a holy God and holy, unrighteous, and needing to be fully righteous. Lord, I pray they'll get their heart cleansed by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll get the blood of Jesus Christ to cover their sins, remove their sins, and to blot out their iniquities, that they may be saved today. And for us, Lord, that are saved, help us to recognize that if we do have that pure heart within us, then it's going to require some maintenance to keep it that way on a continual and a regular basis. Speak to our hearts today. Challenge us, Lord, if there's one not saved, save that man, woman, boy, or girl. Lord, I pray that the song would be the song to encourage our hearts. May we listen intently to the song. Then in the message this morning, may it speak to our hearts and change us that we might truly be different. Then when we came in, bless now the activities with the children and also next door in the nursery. Lord, we pray that you would guide, direct, and lead in their administration and in their teaching, that they would come forth as well, knowing more about Jesus Christ, a God who loves them and saves them. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Miss Charmaine is going to come up and sing for us.
As she made her way to Jesus, she stumbled through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger. Her folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. And I spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I had found. Until the day when Jesus rescued me and he healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I am giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair, my hair. 'Cause you were there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Amen. That alabaster box. Amen. Thank you, Charmaine. I appreciate that blessing and song. Amen. Way to minister to our hearts. Amen. Well, talking about the alabaster box today, we're talking about a heart as well. Amen. And a pureness of heart. And I do trust that you would take note of the things that have been discussed thus far and that God would speak to your hearts today. You know, we got a lot of activities coming up tonight. The children have worked hard and they're going to get rewarded for what they have done. And we're looking forward as well to seeing who gets what tonight. Amen. But, you know, any way you slice it, there are no losers when you're involved in the things of God. And so I pray that we'll applaud and encourage all of our children tonight that, there are no losers. Amen. You're always a winner when you do God's way. Amen. And do things God's way. So we appreciate that. Well, in the sermon today, we're looking at blessed are the pure in heart. And we're talking about not this thing down here that ticks. I know everybody's looking at it. I got a thing down here. It's called a heart, and it goes thump, 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 thump. When I run, it beats faster. When I sleep, it beats slower. We're not talking about that heart. We're talking about the seat of your emotions. Talking about what the synonymous things are, your mind, your emotions, and your will. That's your heart. That's your soul. That comprises man. You also have a body as well. The body is the material part of man that kind of gets you around from point A to point B. But then you also have the spiritual part of man that is either regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God and you're born again, or it's man's spirit and it's more like your conscience and it's not saved and it's not getting to heaven. So you're made of a body and a soul, the spirit. And the soul is your heart, your mind, your emotions, and your will. So that is the same. So when you think of soul, think of heart. And when you think of soul or heart, think mind, what you think, emotions, how you feel, and your will, that which motivates you to do what you do. And so Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And again, not this pumper here. But the being of the man. Now, if Jesus is going to say, blessed are the pure in heart, we have to understand, then what is he talking about? And so going into verse 8, the next three Beatitudes that we're going to discuss here are dealing with our outward conduct when we're facing harm, hatred, or hardships. How do we respond? They detail these next three, and with the one that we talked about last week, the merciful, they detail outwardly, how you respond to adversity. Ask yourself, how do you respond to adversity? A great deal of how you respond is going to be conditioned on how your heart is. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. It's still true. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed the things that we do. Thoughts, fornications, lasciviousness, and things of that nature. He said, it comes from our mind, our emotions, and our will. So what your heart is all about is going to determine what your life is about. You've got a dirty heart, your life's going to be dirty. You've got a pure heart, then your life's going to be pure. Check your life. What is your life like? What'd you do yesterday? What'd you do last week? What'd you do the week before that? You say, preacher, we don't want them to talk about that. Well, that's why we're here this morning, to get that put to rest, amen? So that we can all have the pure heart that God would have us to have. Because notice the things that are left. He said, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. It's not getting any easier for us. And what Jesus is saying, it all starts up in the beginning with the humble spirit. You've got to have the right kind of spirit. In verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You've got to recognize it's not in you, it's in God. And you've got to have God's spirit. And it just gets better as he goes on. And so we're talking about how to respond and react outwardly to adversity. And pureness in the house is the subject matter for today. How can you and I show pureness in our homes? Before our husbands, before our wives, before our children, before our parents. How can we show pureness in our house? Because if you look down in verse number 15, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works. He said, you know what?
You don't put it under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick. He says, so now let it shine. Do people see your purity? By the way, young people, when we talk about your purity, we're talking about being a virgin until you reach the altar of marriage. And your purity in your body will go hand in hand with the purity of your mind, which is part of your soul, your mind, emotions, and your will, because your mind is going to think it, your emotions are going to feel it, and your will is going to do it. And so if you're not pure in your mind, if you're not pure in your emotions, and you're not pure in your will, your body is going to be impure, and you'll go down the marriage altar having had other people before you've had your marriage partner. And that's what you don't want. That's why your parents are always on you about what you watch, about what you listen to, about where you go, about the friends you hang out with. Why? Your purity is at stake. Your purity is at stake. And let me help you out something, young person. Once you lose it, you never get it back. It's forevermore gone. Amen. You can go on from there and be pure from that moment on, but once it's lost, it's lost. So what is this verse talking about? Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure or the clean in heart see and recognize God's presence and power in their life. And thus they can respond and react the way God would have them towards injustice. Say that again. The pure in heart or the clean in heart see and recognize God's presence, because it says they shall see God. They recognize his presence. They recognize his power in their lives. Thus they can respond and react with pure or righteous motives. They see God now in their circumstances, and they'll see him later in glory. So they see him both here and now. And so when Jesus said that, he's saying, look, I want you to check your heart and make sure it's where it needs to be. It's going to start with being poor in spirit. It's going to start with mourning about your sinful condition. It's going to cause you to be meek around others and not judge them. It's going to cause you to hunger and thirst for my righteousness. It's going to cause you to be merciful to others. And it's going to cause you to have a pure heart. The word pure itself means to be clean or clear or undefiled. In other words, our motives of the heart in response to harm, hatred, or hardships or adversity is in question here. Ask yourself this question: why do we respond or react the way we do to adversity? Because of the condition of your heart. If you respond positively, the heart condition is pretty good. If you respond negatively to adversity, the condition of your heart may need some work. Let me go on record and say none of us are all right all the time. We can always use a little bit of work on the heart. Why? The heart is just something like that that needs work all the time. But yet, how do we respond or react to injustices when they happen? Albert Barnes says this about this text. Blessed are the pure in heart. That is, those whose minds, motives, and principles are pure. And I just said it doesn't stay that way all the time. Those who seek not only to have the external actions correct, but who are concerned about the inside actions being correct and desire to be holy in heart, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. So Albert Barnes said, you know what? It's not so much about having everything right on the outside, because you can have everything right on the outside and be all wrong inside. There are those that will walk around, they're pious, and they look like they've got it all together, but you follow them into the deepest corners of their hearts, and they're dirty, they're wicked, they're deceitful, they're a liar, and you would never know it by looking at the appearance. Pureness of a heart says, you know, what I see on the outside is what's on the inside. A pureness of heart. Hey, it's hard to stay that way. We live in a wicked, wicked world. And if you're exposed by any parts of the world, it's going to influence you in a negative way, because that's just what the world does. And so it's going to take something to keep my heart pure. The pure in heart will not render to someone what is due for an injustice, but will respond the way God will respond, in love and in mercy. And it's easy to respond negatively to a wrong against us. Everything we do comes from our heart, which is our mind, emotions, and will, or our soul. Let me say this first of all: for us to be pure in heart, you got to be saved.
That's right, Pastor, that's right.
You must be born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so if I'm going to see God, I've got to be born again. Because he said clearly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So for Jesus to say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He said, you can't see the kingdom of God if you're not saved. I've got to be saved. Ezekiel said it this way in Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you, notice this, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. David said it this way in Psalm 24 and verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the holy hill, into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, notice this, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Once our hearts have been renewed. And the Bible clearly says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Once I get saved, now I've got the hard task of keeping this thing clean. Because I get a pure heart when I get saved. And if you're not saved here, let me encourage you, you need to be saved. Say, preacher, but I joined the church. If you've been here all week, Tracker Jack talked about joining the church. He talked about being good. He talked about reading your Bible. He talked about being baptized. He talked about speaking in tongues. He talked about everything, being religious, being good. All the week long, he told the kids, hey, I'm going to heaven because I did this, 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 this. But guess what? It comes by being born again. Doesn't come any other way. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And let me encourage you, if you're not saved today, or if you're unsure, please, don't leave before you get it settled. You want to leave here with a pure heart. You want to leave here knowing that God is your God. You want to leave here knowing that Jesus is your Savior. You want to leave here knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Not that you know about him or you've talked about him or you've seen some things about him, but you know him. You need to be saved. And so let me encourage you before we go any further, because the rest of what I'm going to say talks about maintaining your pure heart. But you got to get one first. Folks say, well, you know, I got a pure diamond. Then you look, you say, but you ain't got nothing up there. But I'm trying to maintain its purity. But you got to get a diamond first to maintain its purity. I got some pure gold. No, that's fake. You got to have it first to maintain it. Y'all with me? Amen. So you got to have a pure heart before you can maintain it. Amen. Once our hearts are renewed, they must be insulated against the world, the flesh and the devil. Insulation. Let me encourage you, it's not isolation. You know, hear about these monks that go to these monasteries and try to move far away from everybody. And there's a problem with trying to move away from everybody. You take yourself. And when you move away from everybody, you may not be influenced by them, but you still got a wicked heart that you got to contend with, and so you're there. And so it doesn't help us to isolate ourselves. And by the way, the Bible says we're to be salt and light. Could you imagine what would happen if you isolated salt? It wouldn't do you any good. Can you imagine if you isolated light? It wouldn't do you any good. So insulation is not isolation. Salt is insulated in a container until its use. A light bulb is also insulated by glass so that it can be used. Insulation provides what's needed as a go-between to keep something in from harm and something out from harming. That's why we insulate pipes from freezing, buildings from the cold, and our bodies from the cold. Not that we have to do that often out here. But you still have to do it, amen. Some of you remember several years ago, just about 3 years ago, those pipes out front, we had that freeze that got down to the teens. And those pipes out front of our church were not insulated. And you know what happened? They froze. You know what happened when they began to thaw? They broke. And so you know what we had out front? Old Faithful shooting up. Wasting water, amen. Why? It wasn't insulated. So insulation provides what's needed. And similarly, our hearts need to be insulated from sin to stay pure once they get pure. To effectively shine our light, we need insulation against the world. Now, I'm going to illustrate something for you. Let me get G2. Let me get I know you. You were here working all week. Kamani? Kamani. Kamani, come on up here. And let me get, come here. Jeremiah. Jeremiah's my old faithful. Now, I'm going to illustrate something with these three. And what I'm going to illustrate is insulation. I'm going to illustrate insulation by way of purity. Who wants the hammer? I should have known. Who wants the light? Let's give you the light. So you hold this end of the light because you're going to go plug it in. So take that, get that plug there. Take it around. No, not that way, this way. We don't want to be Three Stooges here. So you take that. Okay, so you go plug that in. You're going to hold the light here, Tamani. All right, so good. I'll plug it in behind the thing there. I'm losing. That one doesn't work. That one's got no Holy Spirit, so we're gonna, it gave up the ghost years ago. All right. So let's go ahead and turn that light off in the back there and turn the platform lights off. So what we have here now, we've got electricity. Electricity is represented by the Holy Spirit of God. Electricity goes from God or from the socket into the light bulb or into the Christian. Okay? Kamani's holding that, amen. And so the Bible said, let your light so shine before men. It said you don't take your light and put it under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick and it gives light to all that are in the house. And so now the only thing that's keeping this bulb from going now is the insulation of this glass here. If we were to do anything to damage that light, then the light bulb would stop. It would still get energy because it still has energy flowing through it. But if anything happens to this insulation, this light bulb can be in the world but not be affected by the world. It's still shining. It's in the world. It can shine wherever it goes. It's not being affected at all. Why? It's insulated at this point. What am I trying to say here? Your heart is represented by this light bulb. The inside part of this light bulb is what makes you tick. And the Word of God insulates you against the world so that you're not affected by the world, so that you can still shine. And so what you see here is an example of insulation at work. You and I need to be insulated against the world, insulated against the flesh, insulated against the devil. Now, Jeremiah, I want you to take this bag. And give it some slack here, Kamani, and dip it down into that bag there. Now, can we still see it? Yeah, we can see it. Not as good, but we can still see it. Now, the only thing that's keeping this light from shining is the insulation. Now, G2, I want you to give that a good tap. Yeah, bang it. You got the light. Now, not a baseball bang, now. I see you rearing back like he was at baseball yesterday. Now, just tap it, tap the light so it bursts. Got to tap it hard in that. Ooh. Now, notice what happened. As soon as the insulation broke down, what happened to the light? The light went out. The insulation was compromised. And when the insulation was compromised, the light went out. Is there anything wrong with the power? Nothing wrong with the power at all. Hey, hear me now. When your insulation breaks down, there is nothing wrong with the power of God. Nothing wrong with the Word of God. Nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit of God. What's wrong is your insulation has broken down because you didn't keep it intact and your purity is compromised. And you cannot shine for Christ's sake. Turn the lights on. You see it's still plugged up. You see the power is still going through this, but it will not shine. Hear me now, Christian. You will not shine if your insulation breaks down. You will not shine. There's nothing wrong with the power. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. That's just another one. Now, Jeremiah, can you make sure those guys get some candy? Oh, keep it plugged in, Jeremiah. You guys can come up and grab some candy out of my candy jar. Now, if I go in here and look, I think, wow, that looks pretty bad. Now you dare not touch this because you'd be in trouble. Now, you know what? I've got another light bulb here. All they had to do is put a new light bulb on there, and guess what? I've got light again. Why? The insulation is intact. So the point I'm trying to make is that you need to have your insulation intact. The remainder of this morning, we're going to talk about your insulation. And keeping your insulation intact. Because we see there's nothing wrong with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with the bulb in and of itself whilst the insulation is intact. But as soon as it was compromised, it goes away. The vacuum was the protection inside, keeping the filament shining. And once the insulation broke down and it was exposed, it went out. Let me read to you short devotion that I read just a couple days ago. And it says heart matters. It says our heart pumps at a rate of 70 to 75 beats per minute. Though weighing only 11 ounces on average, a healthy heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels each day. Every day, the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. In a lifetime, that is equivalent to driving to the moon and back. A healthy heart can do amazing things. Conversely, if our heart malfunctions, our whole body shuts down. Did that light shut down? It sure did. The same could be said of our spiritual heart. In Scripture, the heart represents the center of our emotions, our thinking, our reasoning, our emotions, our feelings. It is the command center of our lives. So when we read, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life," it makes a lot of sense. But it's difficult advice to keep. Life will always make demands upon our time and energy that cry out for immediate attention. By comparison, taking time to hear God's word and to do what it says may not shout quite so loudly. We may not notice the consequences of neglect right away. When G2 first hit that light bulb, did it go out right away? It slowly faded out. But then it went out. And by the way, although it was smoking, guess what? You couldn't see the smoke, could you? Not until I opened up the bag. We may not notice the consequences of neglect right away, but over time it may give way to spiritual heart attack. It goes on to say, I'm thankful God has given us his word. We need his help, not to neglect, but to use the word of God to align our hearts with his heart every day. To keep spiritually fit, it says at the bottom, consult the great physician. I like that. So the rest of the day, what we're going to talk about is how do we keep our hearts pure? Now, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then it stands to reason, I need to keep my heart pure in order to stay blessed. Can I get amen? Because he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So now if God gives me a pure heart when I get born again, when I get saved, and by the way, again, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. The wages of sin still is death, but the gift of God is still eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're not saved, then you're in danger. And I don't care how good you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care what you've done. If you've not called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you of your sins, you're in danger. I'm just here to warn you that you need to leave here with a pure heart that only comes by Jesus Christ. So it is with our light. If we are not insulated by the word of God against sin, our lights will go out just like the light bulb. Even though we have all the power of the Holy Spirit, it does no good because our insulation is compromised. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So how can we have pureness of heart? The scriptures that I use today are going to be scriptures that we already know. So in other words, this is just going to be routine maintenance. Brother Wilbur is a mechanic, and so he knows that you've got a car in good shape. All it needs is routine maintenance. So if you've got a pure heart already, all you need is maintenance. to keep it where it needs to be. Otherwise, your vacuum is going to be compromised like the light bulb, and your light will go out, and your pureness will be null and void. So go to Psalm 119 with me. That's where the majority of our verses are going to come from, because that's one of the best places that stresses the Word of God. Psalm 119, and notice in verse number 9, because our first point that we're going to talk about, if we're going to keep a pureness of heart so that we can have pureness in our homes, our hearts must be insulated by daily devotions. And again, this is nothing that we don't already know. This is just routine maintenance. Notice verse number 9. We need daily cleansing. He says, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He's saying, where and with what shall a young man cleanse his way? So the first thing I need is cleansing. The second thing is I need heeding. Notice what he says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So this daily devotion to keep my heart pure, to keep it insulated, is going to have some cleansing, some heeding, and then some seeking. Notice what he says. With my whole heart have I sought thee, some seeking. Oh, let my heart, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then not just seeking, but some hiding. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So I've got to be insulated by daily devotions daily. My heart's got to be surrounded with cleansing, with heeding, with seeking and hiding to keep my heart pure. It requires some maintenance. By the way, how do you get your dishes clean at home? You wash them. How do you get your body clean at home? You wash it. How do you get your teeth brushed at home? You brush them. Hey, hear me now. How are you going to keep your heart clean? The Word of God. The Word of God. By allowing it to cleanse you, by heeding it, by seeking it, and by doing it. Hey, let me tell you something. Just coming to church is not going to clean your heart up. No more than looking in the kitchen and seeing your dishes there is going to clean them up. No more than going to your dirty clothes hamper, pulling all the clothes out and say, yep, they're dirty. And then you get some detergent and you pour some detergent on them. Why ain't you clean yet? Because they ain't been washed. How many of you parents would just take your clothes, just throw some bleach on them and leave them on the floor? How about if you take your toothbrush, you bring it out, you put your toothpaste on that, you set it up there, and you put your mouthwash down there, and you say, man, that looks good. And then you leave. You're going to have a bad case of halitosis. And everybody that you see will probably run from you, and you won't know why. And when they start doing like this, you're going to say, well, I wonder what's wrong with them. You, that's what's wrong with them. Hey, what am I saying? It does me no good to pour the detergent on the clothes. I've got to put them in the hamper. I put them in the dish, in the clothes washer. Put the detergent in there. Throw the water on there. Put the mixer on there. Hey, what am I saying? You got to have the Word of God in you. Let it get down there. Let it mix around on you some. Let it agitate you a little bit. Doesn't the Word of God agitate you sometimes? You got that agitator on your washing machine that goes back and forth. God's Word needs to agitate you a little bit. Brush some of that sin off you. Amen. Then it's got to get in there and wrench you a little bit. Then it's got to spin you around some. Let that junk fly off of you. Amen. Then it's got to fill you back up with some water and wrench you around again. Then it's got to agitate you some more. Get all that junk off. Let it all seep to the bottom. Let it all sip down. Then it's got to spin you around again. Let all that junk fly off. Then only then, once it spins around, it's done. Then you hear that buzz. We got one of those buzzards on our washing machine so we know when it's done. Then you can take them clothes out. Now they're clean. And now you still can't wear them wet. You got to put them in the clothes dryer. Got to get them dry. What is that? Prayer. Let me get some prayer going. I done got in the Word of God. I done got my cleansing. I done heeded what it said. I'm seeking what it said. I'm hiding it in my heart. And now I'm going to get some prayer going. Get warmed up. Get fluffy all over again. And put some fabric softener in there, one of those bounces, amen, and get tossed around a little bit more, going around in my prayers, going around with God again. And man, I'm getting down, I'm getting hot, I'm getting busy. Prayer is hard work. Prayer make you hot when it's done right. I'm not talking about, nah, lay me down to sleep, my soul. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about getting down to prayer. It's hot business. It'll fire you up. I dare you stick your hand back there where that fire is coming from. Prayer is hard work. What am I saying? When I look at the Word of God, I've got to have some daily devotions. I've got to get along with God. Let him agitate me a little bit. Let him spin me around a little bit. Let him rinse me off. Let him clean me up by the Word of God. Got to read it and ingest it and digest it and let it go through me. Hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. You want to have a pure heart, that's where it starts. Getting along with God. Why? We walk in a dirty world. We live around sinful people and sinful things. And if I'm not insulated by the Word of God, like that light bulb is insulated by the Word of God, it's got to be around me. It's got to be in me. It's got to be all around me. I can walk around anybody and it not get through. Just like that light bulb didn't get through. But let me tell you something. You let your defenses down just once, you'll be compromised. Your light will go out. You won't be pure anymore, and you won't be able to shine for anybody or anything until you go right back and get cleaned up again. Did you lose your salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But you need to get clean again. Hey, what would David say? Create in me a clean heart and renew what? A right spirit within me. What did he say? He said, I was clean. I was pure, but I messed up. I sinned. I got to get cleansed again. I got to heed the word of God. I've got to seek it. And I've got to hide it in my heart again that I might not sin against God. And guess what? God did it. And God restored that man. But you still got to live with the consequences of sin. Amen. So the first stop in maintaining a pureness of heart, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, is having a daily cleansing, a daily heeding of the word of God, a daily seeking, a daily hiding to keep your heart pure. Just like you maintain your teeth and maintain your clothes, you've got to have your heart washed daily by the word of God. It doesn't stop there. It's got to be insulated not by only daily devotions, but also followed by daily decisions. Come down to verse 57 with me. Notice what the psalmist said in verse 57. He says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would, notice this, keep thy words. Keep thy words. How many of y'all wash your clothes once, you never wash them again? Well, you know, I got cleaned up by the word of God. That's all I need. I'm good to go, preacher. You would be like Pigpen. You'd be smelly. Hey, he said, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep doing it. You don't just get in the word once and say, well, I read my Bible today. That's like saying, well, I brushed my teeth once this year. I washed my clothes once this year. I changed my undergarments once this year. Nobody's going to want to be around you. And imagine how you smell to God. You can hide us, put on some perfume, some Pierre Cardin and some Tommy Boy. Put on some Obsession. Some, what's that stuff they call for the ladies? Beguiling. You can put some of that stuff. You may beguile some of the people some of the time, but you can't beguile God, amen? It's stinking the nostrils of God. God said, man, you stink. But God, I've come to worship you. Well, you need to get in that dishwasher over there, or that clothes washer that called the word of God. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Agitate you a little bit. But God, I did that last year. And your point is? Ain't you been dirty since then? Did you clean your clothes since then? We'll clean our clothes when we clean our hearts sometime. Ooh, ow, ooh, preacher, no, glory. No, preacher, don't be so mean. I'm just being honest with you. Some of you will clean your clothes and brush your teeth more than you go to God. Amen. You know what happened? Pow! Your purity is broken. Your insulation is gone. Why? You care more about your clothes and your teeth and your dishes than you care about your relationship with God and your pure heart. Ouch, Pastor, that hurts. Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Daily decisions. Notice verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according unto thy word. I thought on my ways. Notice that. And turned my feet unto thy testimonies. What is David saying here? Of the psalmist saying, I want to have some daily decisions. Hey, I thought about my ways. But I thought about my ways long enough to think that my ways aren't good enough. Amen. I got to turn to God. I want my purity intact. I want to be blessed. I want to be right with God. I want to see God. I want to know God. I want others to know him through me. Blessed are the pure in heart. He said, I thought on my ways, but I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Sometimes, you know what, we can be pretty good convincers that our way is pretty good. We make good lawyers. I mean, we're Perry Mason in our minds. I mean, God's on this side and our mind's on this side and the two meet in the middle. And we're convincing God, but God, this is the right way. No, God, you just need to see my side of this thing, you know. And if I do it this way and do it this way, and this is going to happen. And God just stands up and says, I am the Lord. I change not. But God, but you just don't know my side. And if you really knew my side, you'd see it my way. And if we did this and did this and this, it would do it. I am the Lord. I change not. And then you make your bad boo-boo mistake. And who's the first one you come running to? God, how come you let it fall apart? The psalmist said, I thought on my ways. I turn my ways unto thy testimony. God's way is best. As for the Lord, his way is what? Perfect. Amen. I've tried my ways before. By the way, I've tried my way long enough to know it ain't good. Amen. I've tried my way long enough to know that it is terrible, as a matter of fact. Amen. I've made so many bad decisions. I think, Lord, please don't let me make another bad decision. He said, well, you need to get in the clothes hamper over here. Let me wash you up a little bit. Get in the washing machine. I mean, wash you up. Amen. Come over here in the dryer. Pray a little bit about that thing. Amen. And now choose the right way. Amen. Choose God's way. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? Our daily devotions has got to be followed by daily decisions. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet. It should be a reflection on God's goodness and God's plan and God's mercy. And we say, God, here's my life for today. Here's what I want to do, God, but show me what you want me to do. Amen. I thought on my ways. Turn my way. Turn unto thy testimonies. Our hearts must be insulated by daily devotions. Then second, followed by daily decisions. It's one thing to see dirty dishes, another thing to wash them. One thing to see a dirty heart, another thing to cleanse it. But then it should lead to daily demonstrations. Notice Psalm 105. 119, 105. The kids had this one this week. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice this. I have sworn and will perform it. I will keep thy righteous judgments. Notice he says in the middle, I will perform it. My daily devotions should lead me to daily decisions, which should lead me to daily demonstrations. My lamp, my light, and my performance all should be of the word of God. And when we don't have that going, we compromise our purity. And when I'm impure, I'm not going to be blessed. The Bible says, he doesn't bite his tongue. Blessed are the pure in heart. Is that not what he says? For they shall see God. So then the other side of the coin is, if I'm not pure in heart, I'm not going to see God. In other words, I'm not going to recognize his presence in my life because I'm too full of myself. I'm too full of myself. I'm too full of my ways and the things that I want to do because I can't sense the presence of God, because when I sense the presence of God, I will go his way. Come on now, help me. We know it's true. Hey, all of us fall short here. I'm not sitting up here being a big I with little U's. My heart gets dirty too. You know what I got to do? I got to go right back into the washing machine. I got to get right back in the closet of prayer. Got to go through the dryer and be tumbled around a little bit with God. Amen. Sometimes I have my ways, and I think my ways are better than God's ways. Until I get through the tumbling dryer, and God says, no, son, remember last time we went down this road and that wasn't good? And I think, man, you're right, Lord. How foolish of me. So our hearts must be insulated by daily devotions. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. My whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Cleansing, heeding, seeking, and hiding. Then followed by daily decisions. We must do what God states in his word to keep a pure heart continually. As soon as we find it dirty again, wash it again. When you find a dirty dishes, clean them. My wife is trying to teach my children, boys, how to wash dishes now. That makes for a lot of rewashing. I got a spoon out the other day and didn't even think about the boys washing dishes and went to eat some ice cream and put the ice cream on the spoon there and put it in my mouth, and I felt all kind of stuff. And I thought, I know that didn't come from this ice cream. Because it's hard as a rock. I thought, ugh. What was on here? And all kind of thoughts went through my mind. Did it drop on the floor? Was this old oatmeal, these old grits? I started thinking all kind of thoughts. And I thought, who washed this? And I thought, G2 and Joshua did. I thought, my soul. I had to go back and wash. I'm not eating off of that no more. It could have fell outside as far as all I know. Amen. What am I saying? When you find something impure, what do? You wash it. When you find your heart not pure, what do? You cleanse it in the word of God. You get it washed by the Holy Spirit of God. You get in prayer and get it dried up. If we have a pure heart in our homes, then it can be used when we experience three things that we will experience on a regular basis. Number one, bad moods. When you have people in your house that's just in a bad mood. When you got a pure heart, they're not going to affect you. Why? You're insulated. I mean, you're on top of it. How many times did Jesus go around people that had bad moods? He got, I'm going to have a bad mood back with you, you sinner. I ain't going to die for you on the cross. How about that? Take that. We showed them, didn't we, Father? You don't find Jesus in a bad mood. Jesus did not stoop to other people's level. He always maintained a level of purity. He maintained a level of holiness. He didn't go down to somebody's level because they had a bad mood or sat on a tack or something. He did not do that. He always had a pure heart. His motives were always righteous. Hey, what am I saying? If you don't have a pure heart, if you don't have your daily devotions, if you don't have some daily decisions and have some daily performance out of what you do, guess what? You're going to come across some bad moods in your house and you're not going to be able to handle it and you'll become impure just as quick as you can shake a stick. And if you still maintain your purity in your house, you go out to you see your boss and you're going to do the same thing with him or her or them. Yeah. I'll tell you guys a thing or two. I'm like Elijah. I'll call fire down from heaven on all y'all. That's going to make for a good working atmosphere. You just threatened to bring fire down on my head. I thought God was love. Well, he was, but I'm talking about Elijah in the Old Testament. That's who I am today. Well, who are you going to be tomorrow? Noah, you going to flood us out? Hey, blessed are the pure in heart. My motives now are going to be righteous. I'm going to treat people the way they ought to be treated, up against bad moods, because all of us are going to wake up in a bad mood sometime or another. The second thing that we need to show in our houses is against bad manners. You know, everybody just doesn't have good manners. I watch Faithy Pooh sometimes. She's in the back seat with the boys, and she's in the middle, so I can tilt the rearview mirror down and see her. And I'll hear G2 say, "Stop it, Faith." Or I hear Joshua say, "Stop it, Faith." And I'll slyly tilt my rearview mirror just a little bit so I can see her. And I see her over in G2's face. Or she'll come back over on Joshua. What is she doing? She's getting on their nerves. And I'll say, "Faith?" "Yes." "What are you doing?" "Nothing." "No, Daddy, she lying." So somebody back there ain't got a pure heart. Hey, when you come against people with bad manners, when they just don't respect your wishes, when they don't do what you want them to do, especially in a home, because in a home, none of you have practicing some kind of manners. And somebody sooner or later is going to not do the manners that you expect them to have. Now, you're going to come back negatively or positively with them. If you're full of the Spirit and if you have a pure heart, you're going to come back positively. You're not going to be like anybody negative. You're going to come back and say, "Well, you know what we ought to do." Now, with Faith, I just say Faith now. You know, your boys don't like that. Just this morning, she said, "Well," I said, "Faith, why were you so bad this morning?" She said, "Because the boys won't play with me." And I said, "Well, they definitely don't want to play with you now." And I said, "And they can't play with you now because you and I are up here having a talk now. And you're making me late for church. And I'm trying to keep a pure heart because I got to preach this morning. So why are you doing this to me, testing my spirituality right now? Because I don't feel very spiritual because you're making me late. And you know how I am about that." So how about them apples? And the Holy Spirit says, "Have you lost your purity?" And I said, "No, but I'm real close. I'm real close. The compromise is right around the corner. One more thing happens to me, I might lose it. Lord, help me, help me, help me." Bad moods, bad manners. And the last thing that we're all going to experience in our home is misbehavior. If the kids don't misbehave, the wife's going to misbehave. Wife doesn't misbehave, the dad's going to misbehave. If they don't misbehave, then the parents are going to misbehave together. Can you still have a pure heart even when everybody else misbehaves? We can. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Maintaining my daily devotions, maintaining my daily decisions, and maintaining my demonstrations of the Spirit of God. Why? I'm insulated by the Word of God. He tells me what to do. He tells me to be merciful. He tells me to make sure that I don't render evil for evil. He tells me to let your light so shine. He tells me what to do. And all I got to do is follow the Word of God. Now stay insulated. But the minute you step outside the insulation, guess what? Your light has gone out and you're ineffective in your ability to shine. Hey, folks, we're all going to have misbehaved people in our homes. We're all going to have bad manners in our home. We're all going to have bad moods in our homes. It behooves us to have daily devotions to have our hearts insulated. It behooves us to have daily decisions to keep our hearts pure. And it behooves us to demonstrate this on a regular basis so that we can have our light shining more than it's not shining. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be shining all the time, 100% of the time. You're going to have times when your light's going to go out because you've been compromised. But you know what you do? You get back in the washing machine. It's called the Word of God. You let it cleanse you. You heat it. You seek it. You hide it in your heart. You get back in the dryer, the time of praying with God and getting fluffed back up and warmed back up and on fire for God. And let God use you once again. A flame, a blaze, on fire for God. Don't stay out. Oh, don't stay compromised. Don't stay, well, it got busted, Lord, and so I might as well just stay mean and mad at everybody and cruel. Nobody loves that kind of a person. If you think about it, you don't even like yourself when you get that way. If we were to look in the mirror sometimes, when we get mad and cross at people, look, yeah, you're justified. And the Holy Spirit just says, no, you ain't. Get that junk out of here. Who do you think you are? Did I do that? Did Jesus do that? And he's your example. Did he do that? And the Holy Spirit should convict our hearts when we're not pure. What do you say? Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. When your heart's pure, you see God working in your life. You see his power. You see his passion. And you can praise him and say, God, you know, I may not always be this way, but when I'm not, show me so that I can get right back and do what I know I need to do. Why? We're not going to always be that way. You're always going to have bad moods and bad manners and misbehavior in your home. You're always going to have that. Somebody has got to be pure. Salt does no good if it's isolated. Light does no good if it's isolated. But it does a lot of good when it's insulated. It can go amongst and do what it needs to do without any problems. Let me encourage you, if you're not saved today, you need to get saved. You can't shine until you get saved. You need to have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You must be born again. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's done something to displease God. And the wages of those same sins is death. There's a place called hell that's a judgment for sin. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? He did it for you and for me, so that we can be saved. Don't let this day go by without getting a pure heart. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around just for a moment. You know, we're talking about a pure heart, talking about making sure that our hearts are right with God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just want to ask you some basic questions. With every head bowed and every eye closed, when looking around, just ask a simple question. If you died right now, are you sure that you have a pure heart by the blood of Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven? And you know, because you asked to be born again, that if you died, you'd go to heaven. And if you can say with a confidence, yes, preacher, if I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. I want you to slip that hand up nice and high where I can see it. I know for sure. I know I'm born again. And don't slip it up if you're unsure. Only if you're sure. Only if you're sure. Only if you're sure. Amen. Amen. You may put it down. How many would be confident enough to say, preacher, I know that if I died right now, I'm not going to go to heaven? Or maybe you're unsure. You say, preacher, I think so, but I'm not confident. I'm kind of unsettled there. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across the room, raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. Amen. I see one hand. I see two. Is there another? Say, preacher, I'm not absolutely sure. I want to be sure, but I'm not confident that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you please remember me in your closing prayer? All across the room, man, woman, boy, or girl, you want to join these two? I see it. Amen. You may put it down. Is there another? Is there another? Well, let me tell you something today. You don't want to leave here without having a pure heart. The Bible is clear. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Without a pure heart, you cannot see God. And you need to have your sins forgiven. That is the only way to have a pure heart. It's not by church membership. It's not by baptism. It's not by speaking in tongues. It's not by tithing or being a good person. It's not about how bad you are, how good you are. It's about how good God is to forgive sinful man. Father, you see these that have raised their hand. Those that confidently say they're born again. Lord, then there are some that aren't as confident. They need assurance from Almighty God. Lord, help them to get that assurance and that confidence today from the Word of God, that they can know that they're on their way to heaven. They can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is their home. Speak to us that have the confidence. Lord, we may maintain daily devotions. Lord, to maintain daily decisions and daily performance to insulate our hearts against the environment of sin that we find ourselves in. that we can rise against bad manners and bad moods and bad behaviors in our homes. And then we can export that out to others. And when adversity strikes, Lord, we can have a pure motive in our response. Help us to be insulated, but not isolated. And let others see the good works that we have and glorify you in heaven. Speak to our hearts during this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, stand to our feet. Charmaine's going to play Hymn of Invitation. Has God spoken to your heart? Maybe you need to move and come down to an old-fashioned altar today. Maybe in prayer for someone else around you that their manners, their moods, and their misbehavior doesn't affect you. Maybe just pray for a pure heart yourself. Maybe that you can maintain that purity. Maybe shore up your daily devotions. Or maybe shore up your daily decisions. Or maybe shore up your daily demonstrations of doing what you know you ought to do. Or maybe today you'd say, I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Preacher, please get someone to pray with me. Why don't you just come down and say, Preacher, I want somebody to pray with me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not sure. We have ladies and men standing by that can pray with you, help you out today. But you know, at the end of the day, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How about you today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, how's your purity of heart? And let me let you know something. You're not fooling God. Oh, yes, you can fool this preacher. You can sit here and say, I'm pure in heart, but God knows your heart. God knows if you're truly born again or not. God knows if you're saved or not. But let me let you in on something. Your life will betray you as well. It'll let you know that you're not saved if you're not doing the things that saved people ought to do. Are you truly desirous of the Word of God? Because if you got a desire for the Word of God, if you're saved, then you should have a desire. Say, Preacher, I don't have a desire for the Word of God, then you may not be saved. I don't have a desire to be in the house of God, then you may not be saved. Or your purity may be compromised. So it's one or the other. Either you're not saved or your purity's been compromised. And you've got to settle that with Almighty God. You've got to let God cleanse you. You've got to be like the psalmist who said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He answered his own question by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, he said. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I don't know about you, but if I did not have a pure heart today, I'd make sure I got one. Today may be your last day. You may walk out of these doors and die. Are you ready to meet your God today? Do you have a pure heart today? You may drive down the street and get hit by a car. Do you have a pure heart today? Are you born again? Are you saved? Are you sure? Say, Preacher, I'm not sure. If the Holy Spirit is bugging you even now about that, you need to get it settled. If you're standing in your place and you're thinking, I'm not sure, preacher, but I'm too afraid to go up, talk to me on the way out. Talk to my wife on the way out. Talk to one of the brothers or sisters on the way out and say, you know what, I didn't go up front because I didn't know what to expect, but I do want to know how to be saved. We have people standing by ready to help you out. Christian, how about you? Maintain your purity. Oh, don't let your purity be compromised. Put the insulation around your life of the Word of God and prayer. Be insulated for the world so that you can go out in it and bring others out of it. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I pray once again for these that you would help them to solidify their decision. They would not only find themselves falling at your feet in reverence and in awe and in conviction, but Lord, convict their hearts so that they can be converted to Christ Jesus and be born again. Well, I thank you for the illustration that we can utilize because of insulation, and help us to take these daily devotions, Lord, the daily decisions of purifying our lives by the Word of God, and then the daily demonstrations that others can see the purity in our lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet with us. Deal with those that are in the balance, that are hanging, that don't know for sure that they have heaven as their home. Convince them the reality of it. Lord, then bring us back again this evening with anticipation of what you're going to do with these young people. Thank you for the Wilbur family. Continue to build a hedge of protection around them and Mrs. Wilbur as they're down today. Lord, we look forward to a blessing tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Dismiss us with thy blessings.